And I remember as a young person sitting in youth rally and the preacher's preaching and God's speaking to my heart, and now I get to preach one. And it's just, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that one bit. But it's great to see what God can do with someone who just says, "Lord, I want to serve you." And I'm unworthy, but I'm thankful for the opportunity from Brother Dennis here, even giving me a chance. There's a lot of better preachers here, but he counted me worthy that he wanted me here. So I do thank you for that opportunity. I'm praying, and I have everyone here pray as I preach that God will use me, because I just want to be used. I want the teenagers to get some help. And while you're here, have your Bibles turned to 1 Kings chapter number 19. Amen. We're going to read a couple things here, and then I'll get into praying, then we'll get into preaching. What I want to preach about, though, this afternoon is something about Elisha. Now, Elisha is my favorite prophet of the Bible. I think he's cool. Every time he shows up, a miracle happens. And I like him because multiple times through the Bible, he's referred to as man of God. So for me, being a young preacher, I'm inspiring to be a man of God. I think Elisha is someone you should study because he was called a man of God. And so I find here, this is the first time Elisha is mentioned, and this is his calling. And just looking at his life, I already see some things that I believe I need in my life, and especially a teenager needs in theirs. See, as a teenager, I said before, I went to youth rally after youth rally, but what I didn't do is I wasn't very serious about serving God. There was times where I got right, and there's times where I got fired up, but I wasn't serious about it. And it's because I wasn't serious, I kept falling out. Because I wasn't serious, I kept messing up and kept following after my own flesh and what I wanted to do because I wasn't serious about serving God. And I can stand here today and tell you that I'm suffering for things now because of stuff I did as a teenager. There's things as a teenager that if I would have got it right, I'd be so much further in my Christian walk. But I know for a fact that there's things I'm going through because I wasn't serious as a teenager. So this afternoon, I want to preach on let's get serious. Young people, it's time to get serious about serving God. And Elisha, he got serious pretty quick. And just starting here in verse number 19 of chapter 19 in 1 Kings, it says, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elisha and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you again for this opportunity, Lord. God, I pray that you please get me out of the way, empty me of all selfishness and pride, God, that you can use me. God, I pray, please fill me with your spirit. I can't do it without you, God. Lord, I pray that my message will not fall on deaf ears, but God, I pray that you help these teenagers in the room and anybody else, God, that you please, God, speak to them. And God, I pray that they can leave here knowing they met with you, God. And I thank you and I praise you for all that you're going to do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so what we have here, again, is Elijah's calling. We have Elijah, the prophet, who's walking down the street. And as he's walking, he sees Elisha. Now, what I want you to notice about this is Elisha is sitting here plowing. Now, something I believe about Elisha is I believe he was a wealthy man. I don't believe he just worked in the field. I believe he owned the field. And the reason I believe that is because in verse 21, it says he slays some cows and he breaks up the yoke and all that. And quite honestly, if he worked for him, I don't think his boss would be very happy with that. But the fact that he was allowed to do that makes me think, you know what, maybe he owned them. Maybe he's the one who owned that field. So if that's the case, that makes him pretty wealthy. And the reason I think that is because back then, during once a year, they would have their sacrifices. And if you were poor, you would sacrifice a turtle dove. But if you were wealthy, you would sacrifice oxen. And see, what Elisha had, it says he had 12 yoke of oxen. That's 24. So I doubt that he was lacking. I believe he was very wealthy, which tells me that he was comfortable. It tells me that he had a life of ease. So in saying all that, it says in verse number 19, it says, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th." So you have this wealthy man who has servants. He's paying them to work in the field, but why is he working with them? Because he cared about his investment. See, he cared enough about his investment that he decided, if I want it done right, I'm going to do it myself. He said, you know what? If I care enough about this field, I care enough about everything going on, that I need to be there working right along with them. Watch it get done. I'm not going to sit back and go, oh, you know what, man, I love this field. I love the money I'm making. I'm just going to let them do it and not worry about a thing. He could. He had all the opportunity to do that, but he wasn't a sideline Christian. See, we have a lot of young people who sit back and go, man, I love my church. I love my pastor. I just love the good times that we have. But when it comes time to youth rally, when it's time to set up, you're not here to help with that. When it's time to put money in the plate, you don't really want to do that. You love the church, but you don't care enough to actually invest in it. See, you love your pastor, but you don't care enough to help him. See, when are you going to get to a point when your pastor is going around door knocking? And see, a bunch of men, I'm sure they went out and said, hey, we're having a youth rally. Will you come out? Why weren't you there? Why weren't you there knocking right with them? Why? Because you don't care about your investment. You don't care about the church. Elisha cared enough to get on the plow with them. Brother George will tell you, his youth group, what they did is there was a big teen movement, and a lot of them got on fire for God. They got serious, and so they went into their schools, about three different schools, and started trying to witness as many people as they can, and it grew the youth group. More and more people came in, and now those have grown up, and those are the members of our church today, were from that youth group. What happened? Because they decided, you know what, we're not going to just sit back and watch, we're going to hop on the plow too. What we're going to do is we're going to get on the plow, and we're going to plow our own ground. You see, I could just sit back and watch, but I'm just going to get on with it. See, we got to stop sitting back and watch and decide, you know what? I'm tired of watching from the sidelines. I'm going to start plowing too. Get in your school and start telling about people about Jesus Christ. Tell them that there's a Savior. Start plowing, witnessing to people. Don't just let everybody else do it. Because there's going to come a time when someone else can't do it. It's going to be your job. And you're going to say, oh, well, he can't do it? Well, I don't know how to do it. So I better just sit back. And then that person, your friend, died and went to hell because you didn't want to plow. Because it's your job, just as much as it's ours. See, he could have sat back, but when Elijah found him, he was plowing right along with him. If you want to be used by God, you're not just going to sit back and watch. If you want to be used by God, you'd better be found on the plow, going right with it. So I found that he was committed in his investment. But what I really like about Elisha here is, if we go down to verse 21, this is the main part of my message. It says, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elisha and ministered unto him. So we have Elijah again. He's walking, and the first thing Elijah does is he takes his mantle and throws it at him. Now, I don't know about you, but if Brother Gilbert came up to me and threw his coat on me and walked away, I don't think I would have took that as, hey, I better follow him. I think I would have been like, why did you just throw your coat at me? All right, so Elisha gets this coat thrown on him and automatically goes, I need to follow the preacher. We look at that and go, man, that's pretty strange. But you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God. See, what happens is when Elijah took his mantle and threw it on Elisha, God spoke to his heart, and Elisha said, I need to follow that preacher. See, what happens is, just like in youth rally, I pray that God's going to move through here. And what he's going to do is he's going to take off his mantle, he's going to throw it on you, and then he's going to walk away. It's your job what you're going to do with it. But only you know what God is telling you. See, when we look at it, we just look at a guy throwing his coat on someone. But when God speaks to you, you know exactly what that means. You know what God's speaking to you about. You know what's on your heart. You know that God has his finger in your face. And it's up to you, when he throws his coat on you, are you going to follow him or not? Because see, I believe it's in the New Testament, when the disciples were on the water and they were about to die, it said Jesus Christ would have just walked right by them. He said he was just walking and he would have left them. What'd they have to do? They had to call out. See, God's going to throw his coat, but then he's going to keep on walking. Are you going to let him pass by? Because he just might pass on by and not come back. It's up to you if you're going to go, all right, God, I know that means you want me to follow you. I'm going to do it. Elisha knew what it meant. So Elisha was committed in his investment. But secondly, if you notice here in verse number 21, it says he went back and he killed these same oxen that he was just using. He broke up the yoke and he burned them. So what's that? He slayed his cows and he burned his plows. What does that mean? Well, I just said that he was wealthy. I just said that this was his livelihood. What he did is he went, preacher, you know what? I'm going to follow you. I promise I will, but I just have to do one thing, one second. And he went back, and he looked at it. And there it was. He saw the oxen, the yoke, and man, he remembered all the years that he'd worked on it. He remembered all the years that it provided for him. But you know what he said? He said, listen, I can't have a plan B. If I'm going to serve God, I got to make him everything. And I got to make sure that there's no way I can ever come back to this. And so what he did is he took the cow and he cut it up and he took that plow and he broke it up and he burned it. Why? Because even if he wanted to go back to it, he couldn't. He made it so that when he chose to serve God, there was no way he was coming back. Teenager, what I'm saying to you now is we have so many teenagers who fall and don't want to do right, and it's so easy to get them back in that cycle of sin because they never slayed their cow or burned their plow. They always have something to go back to. Yeah. See, what they do is they get up from the altar, they pray, and they say, God, I want you to use me. I want to do right. But then they go back to school, and there's their same friends. There they are. They're right there. They're like, man, look, it's just like I left them. The plow is still hooked up. I can just hop right on and go right back into that same cycle. No, what you need to do is you need to say, listen, I'm done with that. I want to serve God. I want to give him everything. But if you're going to do that, you've got to cut up the cows. You got to make sure there's nothing left. If there's something left, you can always go back to it. That's why I always fail. Listen, I'm speaking from experience. When I was a teenager, I would get right with God, I would get up, and I'd go back home, and there it was. There was my cow all saddled up and ready to go. And I was like, man, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. I told God I'm going to serve him, so I'd walk away from it. Next day, I'd come back. There it is. It's still there. No, I told God I'm not going to do that anymore. But after about 2 weeks, that spiritual high kind of went down, and listen, the fire was kind of dwindling. It started to look pretty good again. And I would look at it and go, you know what? I might as well hop on one more time, right? I had a bad day today, and man, I'm just feeling down. I'm feeling discouraged. It's not what I thought it was going to be, and it's getting hard. I remember how much fun I had over there. I remember how much fun I had with that oxen, man. You know what? What's one more time? How's that going to hurt? And I jump on, and again, I was gone. I was no longer serving the Lord once again. Why? Because I didn't get rid of it in the first place. It was always in my face. So what I'm asking you today is, what is it? What's your cow? What is your plow? What is it that is messing you up? See, I'm preaching this. I don't know what it is, but God's already speaking to your heart. God's already saying, this is the sin that's in your life. This is the thing that's messing you up. Is it your friends? Is it the friends that you go back to school with? Are you saying, you know, well, no, it's not my friends. I mean, yeah, sure, we joke around a little bit, and yeah, you know, the first time I ever cursed was around my friends, but, you know, it's not that bad. They're not that bad. Or do you need to go to school on Monday and say, listen, I can't hang out with you guys anymore. I'm sorry, but I want to do right, so I need to break fellowship with you guys. You need to slay that cow. Be done with it. Maybe it's a guy or it's a girl in your life. Maybe you're saying, well, no, it's not that. We pray together. We talk about the Bible together. We're spiritual. We're meant to be. Is God saying you're meant to be? Is God saying, hey, that's the guy or the girl that I want for you? Or is that just your oxen and its plow? And every time you get away from a youth rally, you're fired up, you're ready to go again. But then your text message comes and there she is. You're like, man, I got to end this, but, you know, no, maybe she just needs to get right, or maybe we need to work on some things, and then we'll be ready. But no, God's saying, no, cut it off. Be done with it. It's going to keep messing you up. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know what sin it is. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that we're not so dumb about it that we don't think. And I'm just going to say, I'm not trying to be crude, but listen, I can willing to bet that 50% of the teenagers in here are addicted to pornography. I'm just being honest. Listen, don't tell me that your cell phone, I don't have it on me, don't tell me that your cell phone is not so easily accessible, that when you're a night and no one knows you're there, listen, when it's just you and God, and you're going, listen, no one's going to find out, no one's going to know, it's so easy to go to that web link. It's so easy. Don't tell me that you don't know about it. Don't tell me, oh, I've never looked at that. Listen, I'm willing to bet that there's someone in this room who's addicted to it right now. And I know that it will destroy you, destroy your family. It will numb you to the point that you don't care about the things of God. It'll numb you to the point that you don't care about your mom and dad, your sister, your brother. Why? Because it's messing you up. It's messing with your head. It's messing with your heart. And it's destroying you. And what you do is every time you get it right at the altar, you go home, you get in your bed, and you say, God, I want to do right. I want to live right. But the thoughts, they're still there. God, it's eating me alive. And there's your phone. Just like it's always been. It's time to cut it off. Listen, I'm going to tell you a testimony about one of my best friends. We were at a youth rally not too long ago, and he stood up at a pulpit like this and said, I am addicted to pornography. It blew us away. We never knew. We had no idea. Listen, he sang in church. He was door knocking with us. He was doing everything with us. We had no clue. But little did we know, behind closed doors, it was destroying his life. And he said he had no peace. He couldn't get a hold of God. But now, can I tell you, since he admitted it and held himself accountable, so now his parents know and his parents can watch what he does on his phone, he can't go back to it, even if he wanted to. See, that's the thing. When the Christian life gets hard, you're going to want to go back to that life. No matter what it is, that guy, that girl, those friends, whatever it is, you're going to want to go back at some point. But if you make sure that you slay it and burn it, you can't go back to it. Now he can. Now can I tell you, when he sings, God moves in. Man, when he's up there singing, man, it's like the power of God comes down. Why? Because he held himself accountable. He said, listen, I have a problem. And now he slayed that cow and he's not going back to it. And it helped him. I don't know what your cow is. I don't know what your plow is. But I do know that it's time to burn it and slay it. There's something that God is telling you right now. This is it. This is what I need you to get rid of. And you're saying, oh, but, you know, I'll get right. I won't do it again, God, I promise. But 2 weeks, man, you look, there it is. It's sitting there. All I got to do is just hop right back on. No, I'm not going to do it. Oh, but it's right there. Man, one bad day, and you're back. It just takes 5 minutes to change your life forever. One more point, and I'm done. Listen, he was committed to his investment. He cut up his cows. But you know what else Elijah was? He was called to replace. Look back one chapter, and I'm done. Chapter number 18. This is Elijah, the prophet. Everybody knows this. This is Elijah versus Baal. Man, this is the showdown of the century. This is where Elijah says, man, hey, bring it on. Bring on every prophet you got. My God's bigger. My God's going to defeat them. My God will win, I promise. And we all love this portion of Scripture. But what I want you to notice, in verse number, look at 18, verse number 22. And then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. So Elijah's saying, you know what? I'm the only one. That sounds familiar. Don't we know a similar story of Elijah where he's saying he's the only one? It started back here. Listen, it was a thought that was already processed in his mind. It was already something he was pondering about. He was saying, yeah, I'm the only one serving God. And then he sees this big miracle. The story goes on. The fire comes down from heaven. But then we go over one more chapter. Look at chapter number 19 again. We see, look at verse number 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. Now Jezebel's hunting him down, and so he's hiding. It says, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? He says, hey, Elijah, what are you doing? Look at verse number 10. He says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken my covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and watch this, I. He says it again. He says, I'm the only one. So what God does is he says, all right, Elijah. He shows him the fire. He shows him the wind. He shows him the earthquake. But then he shows him that still small voice. That still small voice that we've all heard in youth meetings. Man, when you're in the presence of God and you hear God speaking to you, it's a sweet thing. When you know that God is in the room. And Elijah heard it. Man, he heard it. But what Elijah didn't know is that was his final chance. After he hears that still small voice, look at verse number 13. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? God said, all right, now let me ask again. What are you doing? I hope you have a different answer. And he says in verse number 14, and he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord, God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and even I. He just heard the voice of the Lord. Man, he just had revival. But yet he couldn't get past the fact that he felt like he was the only one. And you know what? That's the last time God said, what are you doing, Elijah? He didn't ask him again. He only had two chances. And he gave him the same answer. What I'm saying is Elijah didn't slay his cows or burn his plows. That same thing that messed him up back with the prophets of Baal about being the only one, he never got it right. And so the next thing God says is, Elijah, I need you to go call Elisha. He's going to replace you. You're done. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, Elijah, go down and anoint Elisha. He said, because that's it. You're done. Elisha was called to replace Elijah because Elijah never got one thing right. One of the greatest prophets in the Bible was done because he kept on saying, I'm the only one. That may not be yours. That may not be the one thing that's messing you up. Maybe you're like, well, I know there's plenty out there. But you got some other sin in your heart. And God's saying, hey, I know you're here at youth rally, so I'm going to ask, what are you doing here? And if your answer isn't, God, I just want to serve you. Maybe it's that same thing. Maybe you're saying, God, and you look over and there it is. It's all plowed and ready to go. All you got to do is jump on. You're like, man, I could slay it. But you choose not to. And God says, all right. Comes back a little while later. Maybe this is your second youth rally. And God says, hey, remember that year ago I dealt with you about this and you never got it right? So now let me ask you, what are you doing here? And you look back and it's still there. God's going to say, all right, well then, I'm going to call that guy to replace you. Listen, I had something in store for you. I had something big planned for you. Man, I had so much that I wanted to do with your life. But since you can't slay that cow over there, you're done. Elisha was able to replace Elijah. So now my next question is, are you able to replace? Are you someone God would even consider? What about when your pastor here is gone? Do we have a teenager in this room that could take this pulpit and lead these people? Are you saying, man, that can never be me? I've got way too many cows. I've got way too many things that I've never slayed. I can't replace anybody. Where are you, teenager? Listen, as I've been preaching, you know what's on your heart. You know what God's been dealing with you, and most likely this isn't the first time he's dealt with you about it. He's a God of long suffering, but there comes a time when he goes, all right, I guess you're not getting it right. Next. Everybody stand. Please bow your head. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for being so good. God, I do thank you for your mercy. And God, I pray that this was the right message that needed to be preached. God, I pray you touch your people. And God, I pray that you please, God, speak to them. Help them, God. I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.